Hello, and thank you for calling the Tattoo Hotline with your hosts, Teresa Sharp and Gia Rose, taking a deep dive into the tattoo industry, hot takes, fun facts, and Q&A. Please stay on the line, and your call will be connected shortly.
Hey everyone, I'm Teresa Sharp.
And I'm Gia Rose.
And you're listening to The Tattoo Hotline, a bi-weekly podcast where you call in with your questions, comments, and experiences regarding everything tattoo.
With our collective 35 years as artists in the industry, we have done it all. From television shows, tattooing around the world, studio owning, teaching, and now your hotline hosts.
All right, Tattoo Hotline, episode one, Tattoo Gate, part one.
Part one, because we had to put this into three.
Oh my god, there's so much to talk about. But I think we should definitely start by doing a brief recap of what the Tattoo Gate is in our tattoo community right now. Just very simple, focusing on what happened and what we want to talk about because of that. So yep. Tattoo Gate was a video that that was posted by a client in regards to a tattoo experience that she had with an artist in Canada. She went in and paid for a consultation. It was like $180 for her consultation, I believe. And then the artist, during the consultation, presented her with her design collab models, which was essentially the way that she likes to do drawings for her clients, but it's a paid system. And she has tiers in that system. Tier one was $1,500 plus tax, which included one sketch and one rework. And then tier two was $3,500 plus tax, which included two sketches and two reworks. Tier three was $6,000 plus tax with multiple drawings and multiple reworks. It turns out that our unfortunate client of the story ended up choosing tier one, which was $1,500. They also paid $180 in consult fees, which are non-refundable, and then there was a $1,000 booking fee. So altogether, three separate fees just to get the drawing. They ended up spending a total of $2,695 and didn't get any of it back. So
she had gone public with this in a very polite way, where she was like, "I really admire this artist. I really wanted to get tattooed by them, but I'm not really sure what to do." So she had prefaced it with like story time, right?
You can look it up. It's all over TikTok. It's all over Instagram. If you just hashtag TattooGate, you'll find it. But essentially she received a drawing that was a very, very, very simple sketch / tracing of a fox. It wasn't even, I don't even think it was, they've uncovered now as the drama unfolds that it was in fact a tracing of somebody else's work that she presented to this girl as an original drawing that she did for her.
I didn't even know that.
You didn't know? Oh my gosh.
No, I didn't even know that part.
Girl, you gotta get on it.
There was so much going on. Like, I mean, the TikTok views alone, the reason why this is such a huge deal in our industry is that this one video had over, I think the last time I looked, 65 million hashtags on TikTok. Wow. That is huge. It's a huge deal. And it's not just tattooers. It's also just, it's clients, tattoo fans.
And the one thing that I think that this really brings a huge focus to, and the whole theme of today's podcast, is the focus of artistic pricing and artist compensation. That's really, when we break it down to the most basic idea of what this woman is talking about and what she's complaining about and her experience, is the way that her artist felt that they needed to be compensated for their time and how that worked out for her. And just in general, I think this brings to light like artist pricing in the tattoo world. Like, this isn't illustration. This isn't graphic design. I'm not getting a logo designed. I'm not getting a business card designed. And it's not a painting. Like, I'm not asking somebody for a painting and not asking them for something I'm going to hang on my walls. I'm asking for a tattoo design. And that's what this woman asked for. She wanted a tattoo design from this girl because she was then going to have this person tattoo her.
Right. The end result is the tattoo, not the artwork.
No. And instead,
it's to be tattooed.
Right. And she paid for the artwork. and did not get a tattoo because when she was presented with the artwork, it was so far from what she wanted that she didn't even, at that point, didn't even trust that this process was going to end up well for her or end up with a tattoo that she wanted. So then she had to walk away.
And none of this is deducted from the cost of her actual tattoo. That's also a huge point about this. At that point, financially, you know, you face the problem as a client of how do I go forward and do I walk away? I'm out all of this money. And since she brought this forward, not only has it blown up within our industry, which we're going to dive deeper into of the reasons why, so on and so forth, but other people have come forward with their stories falling under the same pricing model. And I think what's really important for us to note is that this is not standard in tattooing at all. We don't use this pricing model, and we're going to get to that and the reasons why tattooers had such a huge visceral response to this was because we don't do this. This is not what we do because it destroys the relationships with clients, which is what this very publicly kind of did with our industry.
You know, let's get into the meat of this situation, which is pricing standards in the tattoo industry. What are they? Like, let's look at the current rates that you and I know of, you know, just having been artists over the past, you know, 20, 25 years. Like, how long have you been tattooing for?
I've been tattooing for 20 years.
So I've been tattooing for 15, so.
And it's changed a lot, but not really. Like, we have, so that's the thing that's important for clients out there to understand, or newer tattooers to understand, is that the way tattooing has been priced has kind of always been the same. The amounts have adjusted over time, but we do have these somewhat standards that are parameters within our industry, but there's so many variables that go into it. That's why one size doesn't fit all. That's why we don't have a one size fit all, because we're not a product to be sold. But we can talk, we'll dive into that, because you know, although prices have fluctuated and changed, and a lot of artists have moved more into things like day rates and flat rates for a better product at the, or like a better tattoo at the end, people still use the hourly model. And anyways, so we'll get into, I guess we can just go into that.
Yeah. So I guess when I'm going to go back to about when I was an apprentice / you know, first, second year tattoo artist and didn't have a ton of experience in the industry, I think my rates were like $100 an hour. And I did hourly because, you know, I wasn't very good at like knowing exactly how much time something would take me. So it was like, I would guess, but then I would be like, it's $100 an hour. So if we go a little bit over, you know, it's just by the hour at that point. And then I think fast forward to today, I would say that the standard price for an hourly rate of a tattoo nowadays is somewhere between $175 and $200 an hour.
Depending on, where you are, it can get a lot more in big cities.
Yeah. So like in New York, I would say I've seen prices that are, you know, $500 an hour. But then if you go back to like the Midwest, you might be able to find pricing that's $100 to $150 an hour because the cost of living there is so much lower.
Right. And I do want to say too, that as you know, you and I have both traveled and worked all over the world, and I'm in the process of moving to New York City, and I work in New York City. I work at Inked right now, and we have artists from all over the world. And so it's very common for a lot of artists that we adjust our prices when we go to different areas. So like an artist who's coming from Korea is not going to charge the same that they charge in Korea as they would in New York City, as they would in Texas, you know, because they are adjusting their prices to that local economic standard. And I feel like a lot of artists do that.
Depending on where you're getting tattooed as well, like, are you getting tattooed in a tattoo studio versus a private studio? Because you'll find that like an artist that's working out of a private studio has the ability to kind of adjust their rates as they see fit. There's not like an overarching standard there because it's their own studio. So they can do whatever they want. Nobody's making the rules for them except them. Whereas if in a tattoo shop, like in my studio in Richmond, everybody in my shop, we have a base minimum, you know? So like if somebody walks off the streets and they want something small tattooed on their wrist, for any of my artists to get out their needles and sit down with you and do this tattoo, it's going to be $175 for the first hour. That's the shop minimum. And a lot of shops have a shop minimum where to do anything, whether it's a tiny little speck that you're putting behind your ear, a little script that you're trying to get on your wrist, or a full sleeve, like they have a minimum. It's going to be, you know, whatever they feel is comparable to the other shops in the area. And we do keep track of that in my shop. We want to know, like, what the guys down the street are charging, what the guys across town are charging, because we don't want to feel like we're the most expensive shop. We also don't want to be the cheapest shop.
Every artist pays a percentage to their studio. And those are standards within studios, because the studio is covering basic supplies, insurance, liability insurance. So when a client looks at an artist's rates, whether it's an hour or by piece, there are a lot of costs that come out of that. So it's not just a compensation for the artist's time and drawing and consulting. They're also sometimes paying for booking assistants, and all of these other things. So that's how we set our minimum within a studio, because the studio has to make a minimum to cover their costs. And then the artist also has to make a minimum for the tattoo. And so that's the base price. And that's pretty industry standard. So when we come back to this pricing model that's been thrown out there, that's caused this huge uproar, pricing has never really been an issue in our industry. It really never has. It's always been time management. As far as, like, in my experience, working around the world, working with other artists, it's about artists really learning how to manage their time. And so, like, whether that's their drawing time, their consulting time, their booking time, and then their tattoo time. And when we have these prices, what's standard in our industry is that those are all rolled into the costs of the tattoo. And I think that's really important to say that that's why tattoos cost the way that they cost is because we consider the time outside of needle to skin within that price as well. And I think I saw a comment on some of the posts that were about Tattoo Gate where people were saying, you know, I should be paid for every single hour that I work, needle to skin, needle to skin. And to me, I was like, you know, if you want to charge like $300 to $500 for needle to skin, surgeons don't even make that much.
In my case, like, I'm doing back pieces and leg sleeves and sleeves most of the time. And so, like, rarely am I doing a tattoo that's going to be done start to finish that day. I'm doing something mm-hmm. that's like a project that's going to be, you know, 5 or 6 days or 8 to 10 days or 10 to 12 days. And when you have that, like, my day is basically just like, I'm going to come in and we're going to get as much done as we can. So it makes sense for me to do a half day, whole day. So if somebody's like, hey, I can't sit for beyond 4 hours. I know that about myself. And I'm like, cool. 4 days or 4 hours it is, you know, we will not go beyond that. And that's
just so everyone knows, I have a back piece by Teresa in process. I'm overdue because I've had a lot of personal stuff. But I think, like, I'm one of those people who fluctuates. So, like, there are days you've tattooed me that I can sit for a long time. And then there was that one time where I had bursitis in my hip and I could not sit for more than 3 fucking hours. I just couldn't. I couldn't.
That's why the half day, whole day model is good, because it gives my clients who want big tattoos the option to kind of build themselves in a way that works the best for them. And it also ensures that, like, for the time that I'm going to be spending with them, I'm getting compensated as well. And I think a lot of my clients, at least, you know, that I've heard from them personally, is that they like coming in and knowing what they're going to owe for the day. If you're going to be a half day, whole day artist, you have to absolutely give your clients the amount of hours that you state is your half day, whole day rate. You know, so if I tell somebody that a full day is 6 hours, and I only tattoo them for 5, and I'm the one that wants to leave at 5 hours, that's not fair to them, because they paid for what they assumed was 6, and then I only gave them 5. Or if I'm an artist and I come in and I'm like, okay, yeah, 6 hours is my day rate, and then I take multiple breaks throughout the day, and, you know, long breaks, like I'm gone for 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there, and I take an hour long lunch and all this other stuff, and these aren't breaks that the client asked for, that's a problem, because they're not going to feel like they got their money's worth if you sit and make that day all about you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've seen artists do this stuff where they, and again, this goes back to time management. You can't show up late when you're a half day, whole day artist. You can't walk in an hour after your start time and be like, haha, just sorry about that. And then quit at the same time that you normally would have. You know, if you're a 12 to 6 artist, you can't come in at 1 and then leave at 6. That's only 5 hours.
I'm very upfront with people. Like, so anybody who emails my booking assistant to get tattooed, will get all of this information up front. So nothing is a surprise. So if they want to continue to work with me, then they have all of the parameters, the pricing, the deposits, how I work.
The standards in our industry are meant to reflect a relationship that has to occur between the artist and the client. Like a trust has to be given from the client to the artist with regards to the artwork that they're going to do for them and the procedure that they're going to perform for them. And at the end of that, you have to have a tattoo that they can walk away from and feel like they at least got what they paid for. And that might be a $50 shitty tattoo. And they're like, yep, it was $50. That's why it looks like this. And I don't care, you know, or they spend $1,000 on this tattoo and they should walk away from that and feel like they got the best work that they could get for $1,000, that they got that artist's best work.
When you run into the pricing model that was done with TattooGate, it severely undercuts the human experience, the relationship within a tattooer and a client, and it cuts out all of those variables. Yes. And it creates a barrier by selling a tattoo as a product rather than a living, breathing experience. We run into the situation of clients essentially facing a form of financial blackmail by, if you've sunk, you know, $3,500 into just your consulting and drawing fees, how are you going to back out of that tattoo? Like, how would anybody walk away from that, you know, because they get nothing from it. And then you're not going to have a good experience. And, you know, I'm the first to say, like, we all have like bad experiences with clients. Clients have bad experiences with artists, but we want to try to mitigate that as much as possible. You know what I mean? Like, as artists, our responsibility is to try to not have those experiences. Nobody wants that. And it's up for to us on our end, because we're the responsible party as the tattooers, to try to limit that as much as possible by clear communication, open and clear pricing standards and how you work with your client.
So aside from the rates that you're paying when you're getting tattooed, let's talk about that pre-booking. At our shop, we call them a booking fee. Some places call them a deposit. The money that the client has to pay to book an appointment with a tattoo artist for the future. What is a general price range that you've seen?
So I've primarily have been in Philadelphia for the last 10 years, and now I'm in New York, and those are the two primary places that I work. So over the last couple of years, I would say since I've been in Philadelphia, which started in 2012, it was standard deposit, non-refundable deposit, $150. Now I think it's $200. And then in New York City, it's $500. And of course, these are deducted from the cost of your tattoo at the end.
Yeah, so that's your normal, typical standard deposit procedure or booking fee procedure with your artists, is they're going to want some kind of commitment from the client saying that you're definitely, you know, in agreement, that they're going to do the drawing, you're going to come in and get the tattoo. Originally, I think this was just a placeholder. I think now artists are, again, there's this like fear that they're going to do all of this drawing work and then the client's not going to show up. And that's not unfounded, because that does happen. There's been plenty of times where I, especially in my younger years of tattooing, had somebody place a $50 deposit, $100 deposit. I draw the tattoo. They don't even bother to give me a call to say I'm not coming in. You know, they just don't show up at all.
We call that a no call, no show.
Yep, that's a no call, no show. And when that happens, it's so disheartening, because you've put, you know, maybe a couple hours or maybe 6 hours or maybe 10 hours into this drawing and that person just didn't show up. However, I think where a lot of the younger artists are kind of getting confused and they feel like, oh, I have to bill people for this time, this, you know, 2 hours of drawing or this 6 hours drawing, or 10 hours drawing. The confusion in that comes from the fact that, like, if the client doesn't show up for this drawing, unless that drawing was super, super specific to the client, like it was their grandmother or it was their date of birth or something like that, unless this drawing is so, like, specific to the client that nobody else would want it because it doesn't represent them. A lot of times artists can resell those drawings. And I think that's yes. something that nobody talked about TattooGate.
Yeah, so it's an investment in a backlog. So I have a library of stuff that I've done just on my own time for clients that never showed up for their tattoos from different time periods for whatever. And it's a backlog for me. So I can post that at any time now with social media and be like, hey, this is up for grabs. or I can rework just parts of it into a whole new tattoo. And so, yeah, it's, you're still investing in yourself for a future tattoo. So it's never really wasted time. And you're absolutely right that nobody really talked about that. Like, that's not just trash or garbage at all. Like, you're just like, look what I have. Who wants it? And someone will be like, me.
Yeah. So I think there's definitely something to be said for the deposit and the booking fee being a bit of a coverage for you, so that the artist doesn't walk away with nothing.
Yeah. It's also, I think, to establish like a commitment with your client. So like, it's pretty common in tattooing that if you don't give an artist enough notification, your deposit is taken away and you have to place a new deposit down. And that's because sometimes we can run into people who continually no call, no show, or cancel their appointment last minute, and you're literally just wasting days. You can't always fill those days or whatever reason. And so it creates this sense of commitment. Like, if you're going to book with me again, you have to place a new deposit. And again, but these are parts of policies that as an artist we have, like for me personally, we have up front. You know, we say you get this many reschedules within a year before we ask you to place a new deposit. Because people, life happens, people lose their jobs. I have a lot of clients who get pregnant because I tattoo mostly women, you know, and I'm not going to take their deposit. Like, we hold it for a certain amount of time, but they give me notice. You know what I mean? And then also, but then there's also flexibility with that. Like, if you have a client who got in a car accident or lost their job and it was just yesterday, or they're sick, you don't take their deposit. Like, that's not ethical. It's not appropriate. And then you're going to create a bad relationship with that client. And why would they want to continue to work with you? Because then now you have this like bad feeling between each other.
What happens when the client doesn't like the drawing? What happens at that point? Because they've already invested so much money up front that you're kind of like locked into the system. Like, you're locked into providing something for this person, or like they have to walk away with just a draw, you know? And so I feel like that's why we had things the way they were. That's why we didn't really like fuck with the system so much. You know, we had these smaller deposits because if you have to walk away from it, it's not detrimental to your life.
Right. And you're not facing this like, I should get this tattoo because I'm out this huge investment. And $3,500 is a lot of money. Like, a lot of people don't make that in a month.
$200 is a lot of money. I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but inflation is insane right now. The economy sucks and housing is so hard to find. So like, don't come at me with like, oh, well, if you can't afford it, you just shouldn't get it. It's like, no, we as artists and as people who live in this society alongside our clients should understand that we have to come at this with a bit of empathy towards what people's lives are like, and what they earn and what their jobs pay them. And it's like, you cannot just assume that if they're giving you $3,000, that they just have another $3,000 waiting. Like, that might have been their savings over the last 6 months that they dropped on your doorstep because they really wanted your artwork, and you owe them something for that. Once somebody commits that much money to you as an artist, like, it is your job to come correct and bring them something that they actually want to get tattooed. And that's why that design collab model, it's a half-baked concept at best. And at worst, it's a thing that locks two people into a relationship that might not work out. And that's the one thing that I like about our system, our current system, which is, you know, you give me a small part of the total cost of your tattoo. And yes, it comes off the cost of your tattoo. This deposit shouldn't be the entire cost of the tattoo. If it is, I absolutely have to deliver you a tattoo.
This is what's important, I think, in this conversation, is that these are the standards within our industry. And they always have been, at least, you know, since I've been tattooing. When you have these tiered pricing models, you remove that flexibility, you remove that ability to work with your client, and we lose that real relationship with clients. And also, like, again, you're not tattooing. That you're making money and you're not tattooing. So what are you doing here? You know what I mean? Like, the goal should be to do the tattoo, not yeah, just to talk to someone about it or to give them a couple of sketches. Like, that's not what we're doing.
And that was the other thing that I felt was so not talked about in TattooGate is like, yes, everybody saw the sketch and they're like, wow, that's really shitty. But what I want to talk about is, so she didn't like the sketch. She chose to walk away. She spent over $3,000 on a sketch. But what does she do with that? And who owns it? You know, is that her sketch to take now because she prepaid you for it? Because if that's the case, then the artist doesn't get to use that for somebody else. You don't get to keep that drawing and put it in your book and try to sell it to somebody else. That's hers now. She bought the drawing. And furthermore, if you're going to do things that way, you cannot give somebody just a shitty little outline sketch or tracing in this matter and try to pass it off as like a finished piece of work. Because if somebody's going to pay you $3,000 for a drawing, I expect a fucking painting.
I own a few original Eccles and they cost less than what that woman paid for that.
So like, yeah, I feel like if you're going to play around with this design collab model, if you're going to suggest that this is an actual useful tool for how you want to book your clients, for how you want to work with your clients, if you're going to charge them that much money, even if you're going to charge somebody $1,000, like that's a finished piece of artwork that I should be able to hang on my wall in a frame.
Especially if you're doing it on the iPad.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you're doing it on an iPad.
Like, because that drawing she offered her was a sketch on an iPad. Like, I can tell you that I think you and I have enough experience looking at that there's no way that took more than like 30 minutes.
Yeah, maybe less.
When we talk about things like with TattooGate, what we're saying that this is wrong and bad is because we do deeply understand our industry and it's not normal what happened. It's not within the parameters or the variables of common mistakes or common misunderstandings. It is a legitimate scam, and that's the difference, and that's why it was such a big deal and continues to be such a big deal within the industry.
The design collab model of TattooGate is not structured. Like, that's the problem, is that it pretends to be a structured because it touts this like tiered system, but beyond that, it doesn't have, like, nothing is written out. Nothing is solved. It's like, if this happens, then what? You know, if I don't like the design, then what? If I like the design, but I want to make changes, then what? If I, you know, like, any point, like, there's just not enough answers in this design collab thing or rules, you know, for somebody to follow. And when that's not, like, discussed, this is what happens when there's not boundaries set, when there's not a clear understanding of how refunds work, if there's not a clear understanding of why it costs this much.
This isn't just this one experience. Like, there are a bunch of people on TikTok who came forward with their stories of working with artists using the same model. One woman, I think, came forward that I saw that she said she had sunk $6,000 into consulting and drawing and she never got a tattoo.
For people who are kind of trying to defend the design collab model, they keep saying that the clients need to do their research. And I mean, we all agree to a certain level that an amount of research does have to be done on the client's end. The hard thing, and the thing that I'm hoping that clients who listen to this or future clients or people that are just interested in collecting take away from this is that what client research actually is. Because that's something that I don't think a lot of tattoo artists talk about. They're just like, well, you got to do your research. You got to do your research. I feel like Reddit has become like the, oh, just go to Reddit or ask people on Instagram or, you know, and it's like, that's not the best way to go about it because you get such a varying level of experiences and good advice and bad advice.
But there really genuinely isn't a lot of places for them to go. And so I just want to give a quick shout out to Tattoo Snob. Like, I think they're one of the best Instagrams and social medias that push a variety of styles and artists from all over the world.
When you're doing your research as a client, you've decided, like, let's say you've gotten past the point where you've placed a deposit with somebody and now you're waiting patiently for the day of your appointment to see your tattoo drawing. Pay attention to the kind of drawing that you get back. And this is something that I feel like a lot of clients don't know that they can look for or ask for. But when somebody's presenting you with a drawing, if there's anything that's not clear about that drawing, if there's anything where you're just like, there's no dumb questions, you know, like if they present you something and you're not sure what this shape is, or you're not sure why they put it in this long form or whatever, like ask those questions. They should be able to answer them. Like they should be able to walk you through why they made the choices they made in the tattoo design. If they're not able to do that, then I would start to question like how much they really care about this tattoo. You know, like I want to see an artist that can articulate to me in some way the choices that were made and why this is the best possible answer for me, the client, and why this is going to be the best possible tattoo for me. Because some people go in, they want something that maybe the artist like tries to explain to you that just doesn't work as a tattoo, and they should be able to explain why. And then when they show you the drawing, if you have questions about that drawing, they should be able to answer those questions.
But I think it's also on the artist to be able to ask the question, like, do you want any changes? Do you feel comfortable with this?
When you get through that consultation with your artist or your email or whatever the communication is that you use to book an appointment with them, there should be a clear understanding of how much you're going to pay for that tattoo in total. Be aware of like artists who give you a range. You know, if they say it's going to be 4 to 6 hours, you do need to be okay with the idea that it might be 6 hours.
Deposits are regular. You know, these pricing things are regular, but they all have room for all of the different aspects of tattooing and tattooers, because the idea of boxing tattooers in, which is what this tattoo gate pricing model does, is what creates more damage. It creates artists being locked into projects, clients being locked into projects, not being able to fulfill or create an end result.
So getting ready to wrap up this podcast, but I really want to get into our call-ins and our DMs. And I'm going to start first. We did not have a lot of call-ins. I don't think the phone number was really like working very well. Cause I know there was a couple people that tried and they got like this mailbox hasn't been set up yet, and it actually has, but you have to do the +1 before you do the rest of the number. So that might have been part of the confusion. But I did get one from Christina, who calls in with her experience getting tattooed by an artist, and she loves the work, but she's not 100% confident with the pricing model that her artist used. So I'm going to play that right now.
Hi guys, I'm so excited that you guys are creating a podcast. I'm a huge fan. My name is Christina, you can use it. I am 32 years old. I've been getting tattoos since I was 17, so obviously you can do the math. I've gone to multiple tattoo artists, some in shop, some, you know, not in shop. But my recent one, which I wanted to kind of discuss, although it's not really necessarily like tattoo gate, but I thought it would be important to mention. My tattoo artist on my last tattoo, which she did an amazing job and I absolutely loved, but she charged by the hour. And I felt like even though I have great experience within the tattoo industry, not as a tattooer, but getting them done, was that she was taking full advantage by charging by the hour. And I believe that this tattoo cost me way more than it should have been. And I just felt like that might have been something that would be important to bring up. I don't know, you know, again, like I said, I'm not a tattoo artist, but I feel like charging by a piece and not by the hour is, you know, at least I feel a little bit more moral, especially in today's, you know, economic situation. Not everyone has the money to just shell out. And I believe, you know, I know it's an art form and people need to make money off of it. But when it comes to, you know, not taking advantage of your clients, I believe that that's hugely important. Although I do love my tattoo, I don't believe that I will ever go to her again, because I felt that she took her time purposely because she was charging by the hour and not by the tattoo. So that's my message. I'm super excited for your podcast. Thank you for listening, and I can't wait for all your episodes, and I support everything you guys do, and congratulations. See ya.
And this is a great example of artists using different, you know, methods, different pricing methods, different systems to charge their clients. And it also kind of goes to show that clients, they have options, you know, like if you're not okay with an hourly rate system, then you can go to artists who charge by the piece. And that should be made clear up front if the artist is a by the hour artist or if they're by the piece. However, I will say that this problem to me sounds like there was a miscommunication between the artist and the client. Perhaps like she didn't give her enough of a range to encompass like the amount of hours that it was going to take to do the tattoo. Maybe she quoted her on the low end.
Right. And then that's the problem that we run into with the hourly model, which is not the model itself or the pricing itself, but it comes back to an artist's communication of time. And when they estimate that time, they have to give the client the higher end of that time. And at the in the same moment, it's really important for them to be clear about that. And then if they run over, they don't put or offload that cost onto their client. And then their client's not going to be feeling taken advantage of.
Christina doesn't say whether or not the artist took a ton of breaks or, you know, if there was other circumstances that were happening that made that tattoo take longer than it should have. But just assuming that, like, the artist did the amount of work that she, you know, like, that she kind of quoted her a price and then it just went over. Yes, that is definitely something that the artist needs to talk to you about. So we did get more DMs than we did get call-ins, and I don't know if that's just a a showing of the times where people just prefer to text in as opposed to calling in, but we did get quite a few DMs, and there's a few in particular that I think would be really good to discuss. One of them is from Hyde. Okay, so this one is interestingly about the half-day, whole-day thing. They are a client, they're not a tattoo artist, and they've been getting tattooed for about 12 years, and up until 2020, they'd always paid an hourly rate. And personally, that's what they prefer. So now we're getting the opposite, where our first call-in was like, I don't like this hourly rate thing, I'd rather pay for the piece. Now we have a client who's like, I would rather pay an hourly rate, I don't like paying a half-day, whole-day rate. And the specific situation that they're referring to is when they were getting their sleeve reworked, the artist stated on their FAQ that the day rate was 6+ hours. So it's a 4-session total project, it's a sleeve rework. And for the third session, the artist only worked a little over 3 hours and then called it quits for the day, with no other apparent reason other than the fact that they wanted to potentially stretch the finish out to cover the 2 full days.
Okay.
So they got 3 hours in on the third session, and they quit for the day, they sent them home, and then they came back for day 4, did another 3 hours, and completed the tattoo.
When I switched from my hourly rate to my day rate, I made very clear to put in not just the time, so like it's 5 to 7, 8 hours or whatever in a day, but also that I do have in there that it's regardless of time, and to remember that the day rate doesn't factor out to an hourly rate. Because sometimes what happens is that when people are used to working an hourly rate, when they hear a day rate, they calculate that as they break it down into an hourly rate. So they expect a certain amount of hours out of their tattoo to equal to the amount that they would be charging an hourly price. But that's not how that works. So because there's so many variables that go into that tattoo when an artist is charging a flat rate, and they might be a really fast artist, so they're going to get your tattoo done in 4 hours, but you have a huge tattoo. As an artist, if you're doing that, you have to be very clear about the time. So if you're saying that you're giving someone 6 to 8 hours, then you should be producing close to that, unless you're running into, again, like variables beyond your control, like inflammation, swelling, pain, inability to sit, physical variations beyond anyone's control, someone's sick, whatever. And then you should be giving some form of a discount if you feel like it or whatever. Like maybe you got close to the 6 hours, but you didn't hit it, you shouldn't give a discount. That being said, if you are someone who is going to be doing half rates and full day rates, and you can only tattoo four hours, say 4 hours. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with saying it's a 4 to 6 hour process, because then your client's not having that expectation. you know, and then being clear, this doesn't break down into an hourly rate so that they're not applying that number to that half day rate or that day rate.
And I think furthermore, to touch on that just a little bit, I think that in this particular instance, the artist agreed to a full day and said that their full day was 6 hours. And if you tell somebody that to finish this project, it's going to take me 4 days tattooing 6 hours a day to finish this project, and then you get down to that last day and you realize, like, oh, I could actually just finish this today instead of going into a fourth day. Like, I can get in the next 6 hours, I can finish this piece, then you have to finish it. Like, you should not. I think that Heidi is extremely correct in this, that, like, the artist should not have done 3 hours and then 3 hours when they originally were a 6 hour a day rate. You know, like, that is incorrect, and that's an abuse of that situation, because you're basically like, well, I don't want to miss out on getting paid for that fourth day, so I'll just stretch it into 2 days. And it's like, but no, you have it clearly stated in your frequently asked questions that a full day with you is 6 hours, so you should not have charged for a full day. When stuff is priced hourly, that does protect the client a lot, because if they can't sit, they can't sit. You know, if it's priced per day, that does protect the tattoo artist a lot, because if they can't sit, the artist doesn't have to worry about trying to find somebody to fill the last half of that day all of a sudden, which is generally really, really hard to do unless you work in a walk-in shop. These different models of pricing and procedures for how we go about doing this stuff has to work for that artist, which is why we have a few different ways of doing things. And at the end of the day, I think everybody, every single one of these models has to have a certain level of flexibility and a certain level of understanding coming from the tattoo artist for the client, and vice versa. Nick Luna writes in, as for TattooGate, I'm wondering if y'all think that Russ's model, his proposed model, could work for established illustrative artists if the price points were scaled to be reasonable, fair, and ethical, and of course optional, as well as thoroughly explained ahead of time to the client and attached to a money-back guarantee should the client artist hit a wall in the design process. I asked because right before TattooGate erupted, I had a client ask if she could pay extra to see the design early, as she is very particular and has had bad experiences with artists in the past when asking for changes. My design fee, Nick's design fee, is baked into the day rate, and since I'm focused on realism and design in Procreate, it doesn't take too long to design anything, so I'm more than happy to work with clients to make changes the day of, as it doesn't take much time away from the appointment, and I charge the same day rate regardless. But it was interesting that she asked to pay.
If you are selling an art piece, not a tattoo, then the pricing model for that art piece is different, and you should deliver a fully rendered art piece. And if that's something you want to do as a tattooer, I think on one-off or regularly, you don't need the pricing model regardless. Like, you can just, again, fold that into your overall tattoo costs if the end goal is to be a tattoo. Because if you're tattooing and it's going to be a tattoo, you can raise your rates to cover that if that's something you're going to offer people, but it has to be deducted from your tattoo. The problem with this tiered pricing model is that it's not. They're fees just for drawing and consulting. They're not deducted from your tattoo. And so if you're going to do that, you have to produce that painting with a frame. And then again, you're running into this problem of why this doesn't work, because then you're client is paying all of this money for an art and they still haven't gotten a tattoo, and it's not deducted from the tattoo. So they're two separate things, a fully rendered illustration and a tattoo. And if you're going to do both, then you can charge for the fully rendered drawing as a drawing and then charge for the tattoo, as the way we work for tattoos. But trying to fold it into one model where the client isn't getting a tattoo out of that process necessarily, and then they've sunk all this money into a drawing and they don't like it and they don't want it, this is where do we go? That's the problem. So personally, no, I don't think it works. If you want to do the illustration for a person at any point in time, do it, go for it. But as far as it being a part of the tattoo process and this model, I don't think that it works. I don't see the benefits of it. And again, we have to remember that this model is brand new and nobody has built any success off of it. We know nothing about this. You know, all we're seeing is how it's hurting people. We have not seen any positives besides tattooers lining their pockets with a hell of a lot of money for not producing tattoos.
Sorry, Nick. I don't think it works. I think if you want to send a drawing out to somebody,
you should go for it.
If you have sympathy for somebody and you're just like, oh man, like they got really screwed over and they're really nervous and I want to help them through this, like, then do that, you know? Like,
yeah, if you're like, I got the time, I know how to do this, go for it.
It's like, if it's not even happening that often, like, it's like once in a blue moon, somebody comes to you and they're like, I'm sorry, I've just been really burned in the past. Will you please, like, show me this ahead of the appointment so I can make sure that, like, I'm comfortable? It's like, yep, I can do that. So next. Moving on, we've got Marissa, and she writes in that she has a story about tattoo pricing. It was their second tattoo ever, a different artist from the first. I'm going to read in the voice of Marissa. I had messaged the shop prior to getting my tattoo done and asked if there was a shop minimum, and they said no. I didn't know at the time that this was suspicious. So I went to my appointment, I got the tattoo done, and when I was done, I asked how much it was when I got to the checkout desk. Note, the person checking me out was not the tattoo artist. When I asked how much I owed, they told me that the price was what I think it should be. So I got a very small script tattoo on my ribs, so I think I ended up paying $40 or $50. I was way too young and naive to know that this was a very odd interaction. I was also told that I didn't have to leave a tip if I didn't want to. I don't think that shop is still open anymore. Can't imagine why. It's like, take a penny, leave a penny, but for, like, tattoos. Like, oh, wow. The only shop I've ever heard of where it's like, name your price.
Name your price and you don't have to leave a tip.
Don't even worry about it. We don't care.
I wonder if she was tattooed by an apprentice and she didn't know.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's possible.
Which is
yeah.
Not cool, because you should always be told if you're being tattooed by yeah. an apprentice.
Take a tattoo, leave some cash, whatever. We don't care.
Donations over here.
The most existential tattoo experience I've ever seen. Wow. Thank you, Marissa, for that gem of a story. Wow. Amazing. I guess it's suspicious, but I don't know that it's malicious. It's just weird.
It's just weird. I was going to say, I think we have a lot of really weird stories in our lives.
I love that story. That's amazing. Yeah, I'm excited for episode 2. We'll get into episode 2, which is hashtag grifting. In relation to hashtag tattoo gate. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about different scams that we've seen rise and fall over the years in tattooing. We're going to talk about the effects that these scams can have on our industry, what we as artists can do to stand up against them, and what clients can do if they're noticing this stuff, like what you can do to kind of like have a dialogue about it and bring it to the attention of other artists so that we can put a stop to these things. If anybody has comments, stories, experiences, or even just like opinions on these things, we definitely encourage you to reach out to us through all of our social media platforms. You can find us on Instagram at The Tattoo Hotline. You can find us online at thetattoohotline.com, and you're definitely welcome to leave a message with our voicemail, which is a +1-804-404-5509. Personally, Gia, where can they find you?
My handle's the same across all social media platforms, at Gia Rose Tattoo. If you want to look at my work, you can go on actually it's just Instagram where my work is, unless you go to my website, which is giarose.studio.
As for myself, you can find me on most social media platforms under Teresa Sharp Art. I'm on Instagram. My portfolio, my largest body of work is there. I do have a website where you can subscribe to my mailing list, where I will send out information about print releases and tattoo openings.
And I do want to just give a quick shout out to No Cloud, DJ Pearson, who made our intro and outro. He's a musician and a tattooer, a very good tattooer based in Chicago.
I guess we'll give a shout out to our editor, Jared, for being the guy to put all of this together.
And make it make sense.
And make it make sense. Make it make sense.
Make it make sense, Jared.
But yeah, huge thanks to Jared for putting this together and editing it for us. And we can't wait to do our next episode. We're so excited to finally have this thing rolling. So thank you so much, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Tune in for our next episode of the Tattoo Hotline, Tattoo Gate Part 2, Gimmicks, Grifts, and Scams.
We want your opinions, stories, and questions. Hit us up at +1 804 404 5099 and leave a voicemail or text.